This week I received a text message from a dear friend. Frank and Wanda Allen are precious members of our church, and Frank sent me a text with a picture of Wanda's dad, who happens to be 99 years of age. And he took his walker and he went down their driveway, and he went to where the flag was placed in the yard, and he stood there as a World War II veteran of the United States Army. And right in the neighborhood, at the end of the driveway, he saluted the United States flag. I want you to know, when I saw that picture, it was just an immediate reminder of how blessed we are to live in the United States of America. We're not a perfect nation. We are divided in many areas, but we are super blessed to have men and women in uniform who have served our country and who continue to serve our country. We honor them officially on Veterans Day, but we also want to recognize on this day, as we celebrate our Declaration of Independence 244 years ago, July 4th, 1776, we know that we have the freedom we enjoy today because of God's hand upon our nation and because of the men and women in uniform who have served sacrificially and who continue to serve to preserve our freedom. And so we want to say to each one of them, thank you for serving our country. Thank you for loving our nation. And we want to continue thanking God for his hand of blessing upon our nation. Would you join me as we pray a prayer of thanksgiving? Lord, we're so touched by your love. And Lord, we know the ultimate freedom we have is found in Jesus Christ. And we want to just praise you and thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be so blessed to live in the United States of America. Lord, to enjoy the freedom we have even now, to join online, to worship you, to express our devotion to you. And Lord, we want to thank you for the men and women in uniform who have served sacrificially to protect us and to preserve our freedom. For all the men and women who have served in uniform, Lord, that your hand of blessing will be upon them. And Lord, as a nation, God, that you would bring forth a spiritual awakening. And we pray for revival to come to our land. And we pray it in the name that's above every name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, as you know, we are marching through this series called Identity. And so often we attach what we do with our identity. Whenever you get on a plane and meet someone, often they'll say, so what do you do? And so often our identity is attached to what we do, our career path, or what we're known for, rather than who we are in Christ, who God says we are. And we've been walking through this series that we launched last Sunday, and we recognize that in Christ, we're a saint before God. It doesn't mean that you're better than anyone else. It doesn't mean that you're holier than thou. It just simply means that you've been born into the family of God, and as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a new identity. I'm a saint before Almighty God. God made that possible, and God made that available. It literally means that I've been set apart by God and for God. And we want to invite you in to that amazing spiritual family known as the family of God. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about our identity as a soldier in the Lord's army. You say, well, Pastor Stephen, where in the world did you locate that concept in God's Word? Well, I'm so glad you asked. And I want to invite you in your Bibles or on your smartphone to join me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, the two questions we've been addressing are the two questions of mankind. Who am I and why am I here? And it's very important to know who you are and why you are here to avert an identity crisis, and to keep from experiencing what's called mission drift, where you start drifting away from God's intended purpose. We pick up now in the letter that Paul wrote to his son in the ministry, Timothy. Paul's in prison. It's his final letter to Timothy, the one that he influenced toward Christ, the one that he mentored and invested in. And now Timothy, who is a pastor at this time, is receiving this letter from Paul, and we get to overhear the conversation inspired by God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 1 with me, if you would. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, don't miss verse 3. share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. I am a soldier in the Lord's army. You know, as we think about our current season, as we continue to combat COVID-19, 2020, as we have in gathering worship for three Sundays, and then we had to go back to online only worship last Sunday and also this Sunday, and we're assessing the situation day by day, and there has been an uptick in COVID cases, but I want to say to you, I'm so grateful for the soldiers that we have on the front lines of the medical community, doctors and nurses who are putting their lives on the line to combat this enemy known as the coronavirus. And I just want to say to all of our doctors and nurses, all of those who are serving our hospitals and our urgent cares, all of the family doctors, all the doctors and nurses who are on the front lines of combating the coronavirus, on our behalf, we want to say to you, thank you for being a soldier and greatly used of God. We're so grateful for your sacrifice, and we want to thank your families for releasing you and allowing you to work extra hours and to go the extra mile and to put your life on the line for our benefit. Thank you for serving so sacrificially. And we're praying for God to provide a cure, a vaccine for the coronavirus. But until then, we want to thank our medical community for being soldiers greatly used of God to combat the coronavirus. We praise God for you, and we love you, and we're so thankful for you. So what does it mean to be a soldier in the Lord's army? How do you employ that? How do you activate that in your daily living? It's not enough to just say, I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. The song we learned growing up in Vacation Bible School. It's not enough just to say that statement or to even sing that declaration, but we must employ our identity as a soldier in the Lord's army. And I want to give you three disciplines. You can call them daily disciplines. You can call them habits. Three disciplines, three habits that I want us to employ together day by day, moment by moment, as soldiers in the Lord's army. Let me give you those three. Here's the first one. I'm going to ask you to write it down. Endure hardship. Now, we're going to start with the heavy one because it's what the Word of God teaches. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, when you're adopted into God's family and filled by God's Spirit, when you become a child of God, a saint, you're not introduced to a tranquil sea with no waves and no wind. You're not introduced to a rose garden where it just looks amazing and it smells wonderful. Whenever you make a decision that you're going to turn from sin and come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you're going to wear the Jesus jersey and be a saint before God, and you enlist saying, Lord, I'm in. I'm going to be a soldier in your army. Prepare for battle. Endure hardship. Look what the Word of God says here in verse 3, where Paul says to Timothy, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, what Paul is telling Timothy, and I just love their relationship and how Paul is shepherding him and mentoring him and how he's being a model to follow, and Paul is preparing Timothy for the reality that the Christian life involves hardship. That often it's swimming upstream. That often it's like climbing the side of a mountain. That it's not always honey and no bees. Endure hardship, Paul is instructing here. And I want to say to you this morning, your new identity in Christ is a threat to Satan. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, I'm going to be sold out the whole route to you. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be all in. When you make that declaration as a soldier in the Lord's army, I want you to know that you become a threat to the enemy. Your position in Christ will generate opposition from Satan. Now, we know that in the Christian life, we have three enemies. We know we battle Satan, the devil. We also battle the cultural current, the world, and then our own flesh, our fleshly cravings, our sinful desires, our humanity, our fallen condition. So Paul is saying, endure hardship as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. In other words, anticipate opposition. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, if you'll write that in your notes, where Peter writes, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Just as in Christ you are always a saint, you are always a soldier. There's never a moment when you're not a saint. Now, you may not act saintly, but there's never a moment you're not a saint. And just as in Christ you're always a saint, you're always a soldier. So there's never a moment you're not a soldier. Whether you're on the base or not, whether you're in uniform or not, whether you're in season or out of season, there's never a moment in Christ when you're not a soldier. So anticipate opposition. 2 Timothy 3:12 reminds us that Christian living involves warfare. That's part of the Christian life. 2 Timothy 3:12, later in Paul's letter here. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Don't let it catch you by surprise. That if you're going to be a full court follower of Jesus Christ, if you're going to be fully devoted to walking with God every single day, then I'm going to challenge you with this daily discipline, this daily habit to endure hardship. I think Warren Wiersbe said it so well. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. You want to talk about keeping it real and really identifying what we're combating in our culture? But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Was the Apostle Paul describing our culture or what? Was he identifying our cultural current that we combat every single day as followers of Jesus Christ? Endure hardship. That's a discipline we are to employ as a soldier in the Lord's army. Anticipate opposition. It's a reality in the landscape of living the Christian life. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 5. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. In other words, there will come a day when preaching the Word of God and receiving the Word of God is not going to be popular. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, oh, I love that phrase. As for you, child of God. As for you, saint of God. As for you, soldier in the Lord's army. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. When I was in high school, about to go into college, one of my Sunday school teachers, we call them life groups now, was Colonel Dave Allen. Colonel Dave Allen graduated from Texas A&M. Whoop, let you have that moment there. And he invested in my life personally. He believed in me. He drew out the best in me. He saw in me things I didn't even see. And this was right after I'd surrendered to preach my junior year in high school. And he began to just mentor me and invest in me and just splash living water on me, just to encourage me. And he was a colonel in the Air Force, and he flew A-10s in the Persian Gulf War. And I'll never forget this life lesson he taught me. He said, Stephen, what I learned in war is that the closer you get to the target, the greater the conflict. So what about your life? Are you experiencing warfare? Are you experiencing conflict? It could be that you're getting really close to the target. Endure hardship as a soldier in the Lord's army. Let me give you a second discipline to employ. Avoid entanglements. Avoid entanglements. I want you to notice how Paul is investing in Timothy's life, encouraging Timothy to recognize the presence of sin. That temptation is a part of life, and temptation is not sin, but when we yield to the temptation, it is sin. What does that look like to avoid entanglements? Look at verse 4, where Paul says, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits." The word entangled here in the language of the New Testament is a word picture used of a sheep getting their wool caught in thorns. Can you picture that? Entangled, immobilized, pulled into an environment that's not wise, that's not healthy, that's not beneficial, succumbing to temptation, believing that that path or that open door, that opportunity is the best option when really it's the worst option. But it was a trap that the enemy set. And I want you to know the way the enemy works is he makes it look so attractive, so inviting that you want to go there. You want to do that. You want to view that. You want to open that door. You want to cross that bridge. You want to experience that. He makes sin look attractive. So Paul is being very clear with us and with Timothy. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. And I want to challenge you this morning, don't get distracted. Don't get derailed. We find in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, a wonderful, refreshing reminder. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Can you imagine going to a track at a local high school, and you're going to run a few laps around that track, and you want to see what the best time you can run in actually could be? And you set your sights on that goal, and you can't wait to get there. You can't wait to get started. You're on the starting line, and you take off, and you just feel this weight, this encumbrance. You're like, this just doesn't feel right. I just feel such a drag. It doesn't feel like me. And then you look down and remember you had on ankle weights. And you're trying to run the race with ankle weights on. Or it's like a runner who's training, and they put a parachute attached to their back because it's creating resistance, and you feel like in the Christian life, you're trying to run the race, and this parachute's behind you, and all this resistance, and it's trying to tug you back. Paul is saying, avoid the entanglements. Take off the ankle weights. Detach from that parachute that's holding you back and resistance that you're trying to overcome. Release that. Avoid entanglements. And then stay close and clean. As a follower of Jesus Christ, where there's purity, there's power. Stay close and clean. Paul goes on to write in 2 Timothy 2:22, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord," notice, "from a pure heart." So there are times in our Christian journey as soldiers in the Lord's army that we're going to flee. Run! Run, run. But then there are times as a soldier in the Lord's army where we're called to fight. We find that here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, where Paul says to Timothy, "Fight the good fight of the faith." So there's times to flee. Run for your life. Run from sin. Run to Jesus. And then there are times where you fight. You fight the good fight. As Jude would say, contend for the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Then I want to challenge you to keep running to Jesus. Don't ever stop running to Jesus. Run to Jesus. We're reminded in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Run to Jesus. He stands with arms open wide, and you can place your hand in his nail-scarred hands as a reminder of what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago. When he left the glory of heaven and came to this sin-infested, sin-sick, sin-saturated cesspool, he was willing to enter in our cesspool of sin, in our sickness, in our separation, and he lived a sinless life and died a sacrificial death. Was buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, claiming victory over death, hell, and the grave, and he conquered sin once for all so that you and I could run to him and be saved. We also find in John 16:33 a reminder for our current context where Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Avoid entanglements. Endure hardship. Here's our third discipline, our habit to employ as soldiers in the Lord's army. Would you write this down? Focus your passion. Focus your passion. God has given you passion for something. And if you're not careful, you'll use the passion God has given you on the inside and you'll divert it to something else. You'll get off mission, and before you know it, your passion for God will be diluted. And God's calling us to come back, to focus our passion. During this COVID-19 season, we've had so many distractions, so many delays, where green light, reopen, green light, masks are recommended, not required. Red light, go back home, stay home. Red light, keep your mask on. And it's been an emotional roller coaster. We've experienced so many highs and so many lows, and accelerate and decelerate and stop and go back and now go forward. And it's been a roller coaster ride. And it's called a pandemic. It's never been experienced in the history of mankind. But God is still at work. And God is still moving in us and through us. And God wants to use us right where we are. And listen, this pandemic may have surprised us, but it did not surprise God. And what God is asking us to do is to focus our passion. Look at the second part of verse 4. Since his aim, that is a soldier, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. That our focus, our passion becomes pleasing God, the creator of life. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Allowing the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us to empower us to stay on mission with God and to live on purpose and to focus our passion. John 5:30, Jesus said, "For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Remember, Jesus is our model to follow. 2 Corinthians 5:9, Paul writing the church in Corinth and says, "For whether we're at home or away, dead are alive, here or in heaven, whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Whether we're with you and present or whether we're away from you, absent. Our number one goal in life, our passion in life, is to please God. And I want you to make that your number one passion. Every moment of every day, to please God. You're not going to earn God's favor. You're not going to earn God's grace. You're not going to earn God's mercy. It's not to earn anything from God. It's to show our loyalty and our love and our devotion to God, who, while we were yet sinners, allowed Christ to die for us. He went first to demonstrate his love for us, even when we had nothing to offer. The great missionary Hudson Taylor said it well. It is not by trying to be faithful, but in looking to the faithful one that we win the victory. You are a soldier in the Lord's army, and I want to encourage you to fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. You're a soldier for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, for nothing shall separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to encourage you one day, the one who enlisted us, one day, the one who entrusted us with the gospel will come again and award us with a crown of righteousness. Don't give in. Don't give up. You may feel like a POW, a prisoner of warfare in COVID-19 2020. As you combat COVID, as you combat the devil, as you combat the cravings of your sin nature, as you combat the cultural current of this world, I'm going to challenge us this morning. Don't give up. Don't give in. We're not home yet. We're just passing through. One day we'll stand before a holy God. One day this battle will be over. One day we're going to step out of this sin-infested environment, and we're going to step into heaven. The glory of God will radiate. The power of God will be so clear. And the glory of Jesus Christ and what he has done on our behalf will illuminate all of heaven. No need for the sun. No need for the moon, because Jesus will be there. And when we step on those streets of gold, I want you to know, as we go through those pearly gates, this battle with this flesh, this battle with the enemy, this battle with this world will be over. But until then, I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. Until then, I'm going to endure hardship. I'm going to avoid entanglements. I'm going to focus my passion. I'm going to live my life to please the one who gave his all to rescue me. What about you? What about you? I want to know this morning, what are you doing with the freedom you've been given? I want you to think about that. Did you know that you have the freedom to turn from sin and trust in Christ alone for salvation? You have the freedom today to become a saint of God, adopted into his family. Did you know that you have the freedom to identify with Christ through baptism? You have that freedom to say, Lord, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know it's the power of God unto salvation. Just as you identified with me, I want to identify with you through baptism. Did you know you have the freedom to become a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church, what I believe, the greatest church on the planet? We would love for you to become part of our family. We have online membership classes. We would love for you to join our family and be on mission with God, with us. You have the freedom to pray, read your Bible, freedom to be discipled and to grow in your faith. You have the freedom to connect with a life group. We have life groups online via Zoom where you can connect with somebody your age and life stage and be part of a smaller group who will invest in you and love on you and encourage you. You have the freedom to demonstrate a lifestyle of biblical generosity. We are blessed to be a blessing, and we want to encourage you to continue to give to the Lord's work to advance his gospel. You have that freedom to express your love and devotion and appreciation to God as you give. You have the freedom to do God's will, God's way. You have the freedom to share your faith and to invite others into God's story of redemption. 2 Timothy 2:1, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God does not expect you to be a soldier in the Lord's army in your own strength, your own power, but by the grace he provides. And the only way for you to become a saint, the only way for you to become a soldier in the Lord's army is by God's grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. We want to invite you into the family of God. We want to invite you to experience God's grace by turning from sin and trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. We want to help you in that decision this morning. If you'll just text your name to the number on the screen, we've made it so easy for you to talk to somebody. They're going to call you. They're going to say, hi, what's your name? What's on your heart? How can I serve you? And you can say something like this. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to have the assurance of heaven and eternal life. I want to be a saint. I want to be a soldier in the Lord's army. Would you be willing to text your name to the number on the screen, and one of our ministers will contact you and help you in this journey called faith? I'm going to pray, then Pastor Scott's going to come up and give us some final details about what to expect in the upcoming week. So would you pray with me? Father, thank you for giving us this treasured moment to celebrate our freedom in Christ. Lord, we're so blessed to be in the United States of America. And Lord, how you've revealed yourself to us, your purpose and your ways. And God, I thank you that you've allowed us the privilege of being called saints of God. And I thank you that you've called us to serve as soldiers in your army, entrusting us with your gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you'll find us faithful as we serve you, as we seek to please our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we'll always pray, that precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.